Have you ever received news that was so sudden, unexpected, and overwhelmingly joyful that you thought your heart would explode in your chest unless you could tell everyone you know and love? That's what St. Paul is experiencing here in these first verses of his letter to the Ephesians. It's like a mighty river going over a sudden and deep waterfall, the water tumbling together, the words come spilling out of him. This makes it a little difficult to read, the more so because this text is poetry being translated not only from Greek into English, but from poetry into prose. It was almost certainly a liturgical hymn sung by the early Christians during the celebration of the Eucharist. It's a summary of the whole good news of salvation, and it begins as a traditional Jewish prayer of blessing, the Berakah, but immediately Paul introduces something new, a riff. It's a prayer of thanks to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A Jewish prayer for Christians, if you will. And so it begins. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. It helps us to bear in mind that Paul wrote these words from prison. It's probably around the year 61 or 62. He's in Rome expecting his death, writing to the Christians in Ephesus, whom he lived among for 2 years while he planted the church there. This is not some airy, pie-in-the-sky hope that things will be better tomorrow. He's in prison and he anticipates death. And despite that, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. In this context, spiritual means the gifts that come from the Spirit, God the Spirit. And these are given only in Christ Jesus. And notice, he insists that we, that is, all Christians, were chosen in Christ by God the Father before the foundation of the world, meaning before the Big Bang, before let there be light, before creation itself, in the mind of God the Father, the entire eternal plan of salvation was complete and known. This means that all of it, including our fall from grace and Satan's, including the taking of flesh by the eternal word, including the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is not an improvisation. God is not coming behind us cleaning up our mess. He foresaw all of it. It's all part of his eternal plan. And we are destined, Paul says, to be holy and without blemish before God. Without blemish in Latin is immaculate. What Mary is, we are all to be in Christ, holy and immaculate. In love, God destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ. God the Son, God the eternal Word, is divine by his nature. He is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. They share the same nature and the same glory, as does the Holy Spirit. We are not divine. We are persons, like the persons of the Trinity, but we are created persons, human persons. And yet, our destiny is to be adopted. What God the Son is by nature, we are to be by grace, sons and daughters of God in the Son. We are destined for adoption to God through Jesus Christ, for the praise of the glory of his grace that he granted us in the Beloved. In the Beloved, in Christ, by grace we are given the ability to praise his glory. This phrase will appear three times in these few verses, the praise of his glory. Paul is saying to us, this is our purpose. This is why we exist. And everything else in our lives is understood against the horizon of our eternal destiny, to praise his glory. In Christ, we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of transgressions in accord with the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. You see how the words keep spilling out, the riches lavished upon us. The free and unmerited favor of God, which comes to us in Christ and which accomplishes what? Redemption. What is redemption? To be purchased. Ever use a coupon at the grocery store? What do we say? We redeem them. We're buying something. The redemption wrought by Jesus Christ is our being bought back. From what? The grave. Sin and death. The grave will not have us. We have been saved by the blood of Christ. In all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us. Now we turn to the act of divine revelation. God has made known to us the mystery of his will in accord with his favor that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to sum up all things in Christ in heaven and on earth. Try diagramming that sentence. I told you it was a dense text. But it's glorious. This is the good news of salvation. God has made known to us, he has revealed to us, he has unveiled for us. What? The mystery of his will. Mysterion in Greek. Remember that the Old Testament is written in Hebrew and then later translated into Greek for the Jews of the diaspora who spoke only Greek. The Hebrew word here is raz. It's a word that the Jews borrowed from the Persians. It means something hidden in the mind of the king, a plan known to the king, which eventually, when he's ready, will be published for the people. This is the mystery of God's will, a plan in his mind, conceived when? Before the foundation of the world. Why is he telling us now? In accord with his favor. And what is it that he set forth in Christ a plan for the fullness of time? He revealed in Christ a plan for the fullness of time. This is the supernatural gift of divine revelation, a word that means unveiling. God draws back the veil on this plan which was in his mind from the beginning, a plan which has as its purpose the uniting of the entire human race to himself, in and by and with and for Jesus Christ. A plan for the fullness of time. The Greek word that we translate plan is oikonomia, economy. It's what a good wife and mother has in her household. It refers to a plan for feeding and clothing and housing one's own family. It's the domestic economy. It's the plan for God's household, the church. The mystery which is in the mind of the Father is gradually made known over all the ages, beginning with Adam and Noah and Abraham. And finally and fully in the Lord Jesus Christ, this plan is revealed. And what is it? To sum up all things in Christ in heaven and on earth. This is the cosmic Christ who is the King of the universe. In him, Paul continues, in Christ, we also were chosen. Also implies someone else was chosen. Who? The Jews. The letter to the Ephesians is a great description of the church, of Jew and Gentile united together in Christ as one people. The redemption of Jesus Christ is for the entire human race, for every man, woman, and child who will ever live without a single exception. That we are destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to his will. Think that you can dispute the will of God? Go ahead and try. It's all unfolding according to this eternal plan, this economy, this mystery revealed in Jesus Christ. Why? So that we might exist for the praise of his glory. This is our purpose, that we might exist for the praise of his glory. Friends, until we know our purpose, unless we have a purpose and know it, life is just one damn thing after another. A series of random events that may or may not be connected to each other in any meaningful way. That experience of life can be endured by most people as long as we are healthy and prosperous. But the minute suffering is introduced into the equation, losing a job, being betrayed by a friend, having unrequited love, becoming seriously sick, or watching somebody that we love suffer, the minute suffering is introduced into our lives, if we don't know our purpose, there's no reason to go on. This is why suicide is the leading cause of death of adults under 35. They don't know why they exist. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know that they exist for the praise of his glory, because they have not heard and received the gospel as the good news of salvation. In Christ, you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And here the Trinitarian shape of this prayer is finally revealed. It begins with the Father, it's all about the Son, and it concludes with the Spirit with whom we were sealed when we heard the word of truth and received the gospel of salvation. And when was that? At our baptism. Mysterion, mysterium, mystery, can also be translated sacramentum in Latin, sacrament. The Lord Jesus is the primordial sacrament of salvation because he reveals the Father's glory. If we have seen him, we have seen the Father. And for this reason, because the church is his body on earth, the church is the secondary sacrament of salvation. In the church, we find the plan of salvation revealed. And finally, in the third place, the seven sacred rituals which the Lord Jesus entrusted to his church to unite us to himself until the last day, these are mysteries or sacraments of salvation, because in them we see Christ and understand the glory of the Father's eternal plan. We were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit on the day of our baptism, when the sacramental economy first comes into our own lives, and then it continues through our years with confirmation and the Eucharist, with anointing of the sick and confession of sins, and with marriage or ordination, each in its own way revealing to us the eternal plan of salvation in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what's it all for? To give us the first installment of our inheritance to the praise of God's glory. The first time I encountered these opening verses of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, I was an atheist. It was the end of my long pilgrimage. It was October of 1981, and a classmate of mine at school had asked me to study the Bible with him. I did only because I didn't have anything else better to do, never expecting that the encounter with the Word of God, with this joy pouring out of Paul, would change my life. The day we were reading and studying just these verses, I woke up an atheist and went to bed a disciple of the Lord Jesus. If you don't know that the sacred scriptures of the Old and the New Testament are the word of truth and reveal to us the gospel of salvation, which is in Jesus Christ for the whole human race, then I encourage you to immerse yourself in these words of Paul. Hear his voice. Yes, it's dense, it's difficult, but you see how it's possible to take from the text something rich and deep and life-changing. If you have been transformed by these words and felt your heart bursting with glory and joy because you know that you exist for the praise of God's glory, then help someone else understand it, like my classmate did for me. Friends, this is the cure for what's killing our planet, our whole race. This is our purpose, our dignity, and our destiny, that we exist for the praise of God's glory, and we can do that even now by living and loving as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ.